This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. It's Friday afternoon. It should be Doctor in House with Dr. George Lee, but his place is being taken by Dato' Dr. Christopher Lee, infectious disease physician, as George is traveling right now. But I have joining me Dr. Christopher to discuss something that is probably on everyone's minds because of all the news headlines that came out after the World Health Organization declared monkeypox as a public health emergency or international concern. Now, what does that actually mean? How concerned should we be here in Malaysia, where the ministry has reported that they have been doing surveillance, there have been suspected cases, but none actually confirmed so far. In fact, monkeypox is not even a new infectious disease. It has been endemic to certain countries in the African continent for years. So just to put things into perspective, Dr. Chris will be setting the stage for us, sort of giving us an update in terms of what monkeypox is as a condition, what it actually means clinically if you are infected, but also looking at the bigger picture of how we need to manage infectious disease outbreaks like this, as it seems to be becoming a little bit more common. We'll find out. Do call us with your questions, 03-77-332-900 or WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Dr. Chris, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you very much. Of course, I'm a little bit depressed finding that George is not around and he's traveling. Lucky fella. Anyway, I just got back. You can see my nose is still a bit blocked up because of the weather in the UK.
Well,
monkeypox is not new. It's in fact left the African continent a couple of times, but this is the very first time that it has gone beyond a few continents at the very same time. So this is the biggest outbreak beyond the African continent for monkeypox. Now, when WHO comes out with the PHEIC declaration, basically it's trying to tell the world, governments in particular, that watch out. This is an incident, in this case, an infectious disease of concern because the way it has spread and in the short period of time. They don't make these declarations easily. So it's something that they take very seriously. I think WHO was criticized during COVID-19 when they took a little bit longer to declare as a virus of international concern, and later declare as a pandemic. I'm sure you remember that when they criticized. So this time, before it's declared, it just doesn't go to the Director General of WHO. It goes to a panel, and apparently in the panel there was actually there wasn't a total agreement. I think there was a vote, a split vote. 9 people said it's not yet declared as a PHEIC, whereas 6 people felt otherwise. But the WHO leadership, Dr. Tedros, actually took the decision to declare it as a international issue at PHEIC. And I think this is the reason they can hesitate, is because if you compare with COVID-19, COVID-19 spread extremely quickly, isn't it? We're talking about days and weeks, where it spread to one continent and another continent. And the mortality during the initial period was rather significant. Monkeypox, however, the mortality is relatively low. But it is the first time that it has spread so fast within a couple of months. And so many people who have never been to Africa catch it at the same time. So this is something very different for monkeypox. And based on those reasons, they have decided to make it a PHEIC, because it will require multiple governments across all international borders to play their role before it spreads beyond, totally globally. So that's the reason why they decided to have a PHEIC declaration for monkeypox. You are right, we are lucky. We haven't have a case here in Malaysia yet, not with even an imported case. But I think we shouldn't rest easy with that, clearly. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Singapore had their cases. It was an imported case, and later here, someone who's been living in Singapore catching it as well, things like that. So, and this has happened in other countries as well. I think all about 76 countries now had this monkeypox during this outbreak, and total of 19,000 cases, I believe. The difficulty is it is hard to pick up because it starts with a rash. The symptoms like a fever and headache, it's such a common thing. Everybody gets it in Malaysia, in the world. But the main distincting feature about monkeypox is the rash. Now, the rash may be florid, and I'm sure all of us have seen the horror pictures, you know, the worst case scenarios. And that one, even a blind man can pick it up, I'm sure, you know. But for most other cases, it may be relatively mild. The rash may not be so severe, not so obvious. Sometimes it may not be so obvious even to the person himself, because it may be at the back or at the back of the neck and things like that. So it may not be so easy to pick up. And if it's picked up, the test is not as easy. It was like COVID-19 during the very, very early days when you had to have very specialized tests, specialized lab to do it. Of course, here we use the same polymerase chain reaction test to pick up monkeypox. That's the only confirmatory way of doing it. And you need to take a swab from that vesicle, that skin rash that you have. It's like a chickenpox rash, not a vesicle.
Like a, right? A fluid-filled like a blister.
Blister, correct. And then you take a swab from that blister and then send it for a PCR. I think in Malaysia, at currently, probably two labs can do it. Probably the Institute of IMR, obviously, and also the National Public Health Lab in Sungai Buloh.
Well, in fact, our Minister of Health said that the country has increased its capacity of testing from two labs to 12. And I think this may include some private labs as well.
It will not be too difficult, obviously, initially, the primers and things like that. But certainly with COVID-19, just not yet in the real view mirror yet, but certainly many labs can do PCR for COVID-19. And I'm sure the same capacity will come with that. Mm. But you have to take the smear and the infrastructure will have to develop itself. So it's a bit, at the moment, still harder to detect that compared to COVID-19. That's a fact.
So then I'm wondering, you know, are we going to have people who develop some type of rash that looks similar and then getting really worried, right? So how do we distinguish who needs to sort of be on the lookout?
There are two concerns. Number one, a couple of months ago, they were saying, oh, yeah, we had a few cases in Malaysia. Then later turned out to be non-monkeypox, because not every vesicle or blister is monkeypox. There are many, many other causes of blistering diseases in human beings. However, I think the initial understanding is, oh, if you have gone to overseas, you have had come in contact with people, that is standard, that's fine. But clearly, the last couple of months, and the last couple of weeks in particular, I'm sure you're aware that there's been a lot of concern about stigmatizing monkeypox as a gay disease. Because a large number of the initial population who caught monkeypox during this outbreak happen to be men who have sex with men, especially started off in Europe, isn't it, right? And it has also gone beyond that. Now, it is not a disease. It's not really a sexually transmitted disease. And it's, of course, not because of gay people. It's because of contact. So if you're in contact with another person with monkeypox, close contact, you run the risk, all right? Now, okay, of having sexual relationships, of course, it's one way of being close, but it's not the only way, all right? So instead of stigmatizing, and this is concerning, that's why even WHO made a declaration of that, stigmatizing monkeypox as a disease like what HIV is looked at in many parts of the world will only drive it underground. When people do that, they will not come forward for testing.
Exactly.
When they don't come forward, it continues to spread. And we actually become our own worst enemy by doing so. So by stigmatizing people who may be at risk of monkeypox, we're actually making things more unsafe for ourselves. Now, what is close body contact? And that's, of course, having sexual relations, of course, one of them, right? Close contact in sports, you know, things like, obviously, very close contact, things like wrestling and things like that. Or rugby and things like that, all right? Swimming, if you are swimming and all the time, you are in contact. you share a bed with somebody, I'm not talking about sexual relations here, I'm just sharing a bed, sharing a household, shared a towel, all these are possible. And now there's also data that even close contact with regards of respiratory secretions can also spread a monkeypox. And this is close. This is not like aerosol or airborne like COVID-19, but you know, close contact. You know, I guess if I sneeze on your face and things like that, that is a risk. So I think it's important, therefore, we address the stigmatization issue. I brought it up because if we stigmatize, then people don't come up forward for testing. And then we drive it underground. Then none of us are safe. Now you don't know whether you don't really need to go overseas to catch monkeypox. Maybe monkeypox is already here. So that doesn't help us. So I think it's important to be one step ahead of that.
Mm. I understand monkeypox is actually pretty self-limiting disease. The mortality rate, as you said, is low. And maybe you can elaborate a little bit on that. But also then in that context, again, how does it, justify being called a public health emergency then if the mortality rate's low?
Well, it's also the way it's spreading. Now, of course, there's still a lot of things we do not know yet. The virus doesn't seem to have mutated in a sense. There's always a concern whenever a virus changes its usual pattern of transmission or epidemiology, and when the pattern suddenly changes, then you say, oops, is it something? Has the virus mutated and things like that? So far, the data doesn't suggest it has mutated. It seems to have come from the Central African strain as before. But it's probably the way we interaction among human beings, the way we play the role. Well, even though I mentioned monkeypox as mainly of human contact from one person to another, we mustn't forget it did start off with our contact with animals. So I think we mustn't forget that. We don't think that is the main risk of transmission during this outbreak now. But if you come in contact, especially with animals coming from Africa, from the bush, there is a risk, obviously, all right? But currently, it's all mainly human-to-human transmission. Now, with regards to monkeypox, the symptoms can be relatively mild to relatively disturbing. The rash, of course, is the most visually disturbing thing because it's like chickenpox. You know, you get a blister, it becomes a vesicle. It's clear-colored fluid initially. Then you break, it'll be a bit painful then. There'll be crust formation and things like that. Things can get nasty because some of the vesicles can be quite big and they can get infected with bacteria, and that can be pretty nasty. Now, the main thing about this from, let's say, the chicken pox that we are more familiar with is they get a lot of lymph adenopathy, lymph nodes, often in the neck and in the armpits and things like that. They get lymph nodes, and which is quite distinct in their presentation.
Swelling, right?
Swelling, lymph node swelling. Mm. The lymph glands are swollen, all right? Now, normally this will settle within 2-3 weeks for most people. But there are some, unfortunately, who get severe complications involving the lungs, involving the brain. And sometimes, depending when your blisters occur, if they blister on your eye, you can actually get blind. There have been cases, yeah? So the quote is about 3-6%. In some countries, they have quoted 11%, I presume some of the African countries, where the mortality is much higher. The sad thing about that is that the treatments are not really easily available. There is an antiviral that can be used, but it's not easily accessible. So in Malaysia, we're not going to have hands on it for quite a while. We may not need it. Yeah, and the vaccines, even though they use the smallpox vaccine, which is available, but it's very small quantities, it is something that it's not as easy to give like the COVID vaccine. All right, so it's not easily available yet. So these, putting all this together, and the fact that if we stigmatize it and it drives it underground, it will spread without us knowing. So compared to 30 years ago, where you say monkeypox equals Central Africa, one day monkeypox equals a global disease. Now, if that happens on the watch of the WHO person in charge, it doesn't look good. It happened on your watch. And we therefore have to do something about it. On the long run, how detrimental is it if the mortality is 3%? Well, I think it will have some social disruption, may not be in the way of COVID-19, but certainly it will put impact on these social and health services, obviously, right? And it will affect economies and things like that as well. So it is something that we have to address. I think WHO did the right thing. We just hope now governments take sensible measures. And I'm sorry I keep repeating this, but one of the most sensible measures is to educate and train your healthcare providers and your public, including the way it's transmission, to make sure they are clear it's not a man who have sex with men thing. Because if it goes down that road, it makes things a lot more difficult for the public health people.
All right. Let's go for a quick break and come back to discuss. I'd like to tease out a little bit more than how do we ensure that we send the right public health messages without limiting it and then discriminating a certain particular group, just baselessly targeting them. And that's really what happened in the early days of the HIV epidemic. And that took a long time for us, as a global community to turn away from that path. And just a little bit about vaccination, also if we are managing multiple public health emergencies right now, what does it mean in terms of our healthcare system, the preparedness in order to deal with it? Call us if you have any questions, 03-7733-2900 or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. I'm speaking to Dato' Dr. Christopher Lee, infectious diseases physician, about monkeypox and its implications of it being declared as a public health emergency of international concern. Stay tuned to Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyik. My guest today, Dato' Dr. Christopher Lee, infectious diseases physician. We're discussing monkeypox, what it means to Malaysia now that it's been declared as a public health emergency of international concern. And this is related to simply a call for countries to be on alert because of the way monkeypox has rather unusually spread across many more continents within a much shorter period of time than what is typical for the disease. Although the disease has a low mortality rate, 3%, has been sort of like the average. You do recover from it largely. But, Dr. Chris, you also said that in Malaysia, we don't have the kind of vaccines that would be, most effective at preventing it. And worldwide, that's the issue anyway. Not the way that COVID-19 vaccines have been made so widely available. Even antivirals are not widely accessible as well. So one might think then that if we do eventually have a case or more being reported here, that there's nothing we can do, what would be the right way to approach it?
Well, thank you for taking such a pessimistic view. That's not true. There's nothing we can do. There's a lot we can do. We just don't have access to all the tools that might be needed now. The vaccines, I'm sure that the Ministry of Health was trying to stockpile a certain portion, I'm sure. But of course, it's not as easily available currently at this point in time. Now, with regards to what can be done, number one is to have early detection. And I think that makes sense. We know about COVID-19. We want to keep the number of infections down. So the faster we identify a case, the faster we can isolate them. All right. And that protocol has been laid out by the Ministry of Health. So we keep them quarantined for 21 days usually, all right? And after that, they are released and life goes on. But during that time, of course, we can treat them symptomatically, prevent complications and things like that, all right? And when they do get the antivirals, when they get it in due course, they can all obviously use it accordingly. But as you mentioned, about 3 to 6% may not do as well, all right? But majority will do okay. But the main thing is to limit transmission. That's the main job we have. And the faster we can pick a diagnosis, the fewer cases we have to look after, the longer it takes. If there are many undetected cases now in the public in any country, it's not going to look good later down. Then suddenly you see a large number of people coming in with vesicles and blisters on their face, then that's going to create a heck of a chaos in the country. The important thing is, how do we detect? So the key is, how do we catch or detect a case early? Public awareness, healthcare providers, as well as the lay public. Certain communities, especially hard-to-reach communities. When I say hard-to-reach, I guess it's the more marginalized communities, all right? For example, men who have sex with men communities, all right? We need to reach out to them. And therefore, it's important for the government to also start working with NGOs or with parties who have close contacts or close engagement with this community, so they can educate their people on the ground. These groups, NGOs, have a closer access to these groups than the government. That's traditional. That's always been the case. Yeah. All right. That's why these NGOs are formed, in fact, isn't it? To be the link. And we have to educate them. So if there are cases using the NGO platform, they can get access to care earlier. All right. Now we can use the HIV platform that we have had in this country for many years. I mean, it's not perfect, but it has been successful in many ways as well. So here, and I'm sure Ministry of Health has looked into it, and I know the Malaysian AIDS Council is playing its role educating its NGOs about monkeypox as well. That's already ongoing, and we know that. So that's something we can do, but that's going to be very important. Educating the public health, the doctors, both private and public, and especially private doctors, because these people catch monkeypox can be anyone, all right? So it's important to get the GPs, especially the MMA groups, to be involved. And I believe MMA is already on the ball with this. So these are things we can do. Detect a case early, quarantine them early, and it will die off. The outbreak will die off, yeah? But otherwise, we need to have, like COVID, a lot more places looking after, which it's not helpful for anyone to get there.
So the parallels with the HIV epidemic, where stigma was such a big barrier and, you know, still is to some extent, is that if you label a certain community or group of people of certain or certain practices, if you label that and associate that with monkeypox, then anyone who, you know, may even be at risk or may have symptoms would then fear coming forward, because then they fear that they would then be targeted or labeled with that same label. Is that right?
Absolutely. That's one of the main concerns. But on the flip side of the coin, if we link monkeypox too closely with men who have sex with men, the other parts of the society who are not gay people will not take this disease seriously. Oh, it doesn't affect us. It's only for them, not for us. So I won't get it. So now I got this little pimple on my face. It's probably pimples or acne or something like that. I'll leave it alone for a while. And in the process, my brother in my house or somebody like that. So it's a double-edged sword. So both sides, it makes things harder for those in those marginalized communities. It also makes things unsafe for the rest of the folks who are not from that community. Yeah.
So then, public health messaging should not focus exclusively or too strongly on the sexual transmission aspect of it, right?
I mean, it's actually the human contact part of it, all right? Anything that involves close human contact. So it would be, for example, certain activities, sports, sexual contact. Yes, you can't deny that's part of that, all right? Living in the same household, sharing paraphernalia in the same household, that can happen, all right? I mean, not everybody lives in wonderful condominiums and big bungalows. So there are people who share rooms, you know, a family with many children sharing the same household, same facilities, sharing bath towels. There are people living in those situations. So those people can carry risk as well. Yeah.
Sharing of food utensils?
Any what we call fomites, any commonly used item which can be contaminated may carry a risk. But often it is something that you tend to use on your body in a big way rather than a close contact that you hold something with your fingers, you know. But But no one has really done very strong studies on that. But usually it's close physical contact. Yeah.
So, you know, we technically have three ongoing public health emergencies of international concern right now. Well, polio is still an ongoing concern. COVID-19, of course, it's not really in the rearview mirror yet, as you said. Now we're dealing with monkeypox. You know, in a way, I don't know if it's the alarmist, the pessimist in me thinking, why is this seeming more and more common right now, one after another? But also then, what do we need to be prepared for in terms of the healthcare system's ability to cope?
I don't sound too philosophical because I'm not. I'm actually quite shallow. That's what my wife says anyway. But think about it. I think we as human beings are making life on this earth a lot more complicated for ourselves, in a sense. You know, we are messing things up pretty badly. I mean, I'm not talking about climate change. I'm not the expert there, but certainly just coming back from the UK, it's not very comfortable there now, for sure, right? And you know how the floods have been, et cetera, et cetera. We have messed that up clearly. And clearly here, the way with COVID-19 and SARS in the past, we have been given plenty of warning signs. Don't mess with the animal kingdom too much, all right? There are repercussions. And even though we haven't strung the definite smoking gun with regards to COVID-19, we do feel that it could come from the animal kingdom as well, isn't it? And monkeypox now, you know? So there are many warning signs that there's an area that we have not covered very well in regards to zoonotic diseases, and many more organisms that are linked to the animal kingdom in the past are beginning to make that species jump over to our side. And that is clear, it's been happening, you know? Don't forget, avian flu is still hovering around, somewhere out there. So and that's going to be one of our major areas there where we meet our downfall, unfortunately. So I do think we need to be a bit more careful with the way we do things in terms of agriculture, the way we go into the forest and in the jungles to do our economic activity. So we have to be careful with that. I don't think we have time to talk about it in detail. I'm not the expert there, but certainly we have to give it more due respect. And what we are doing now. But with regards to the public health part of it and the modern man and woman living in this world now, we have to be aware that, yes, this is something that can happen. Infectious disease can start very suddenly, fairly quickly. So we need to prepare to take on new information and quickly how to learn how to modify our daily activities to address the root of transmission of these diseases. And we have all done that in the last 2 years over, isn't it? How we tell our kids, how we adjusted our activities to survive COVID-19. And we will do it again for monkeypox. Unfortunately, each time when we have to do that, it takes away a lot of our energy and focus and our opportunities to do the things that we want to do. That's the question. So that's a trade-off. And in the process, some people might die. We lose a few people along the way, you know?
Those problems don't go away.
I'm really getting philosophical.
But those problems don't go away as well. So we're really just, you know, the inbox keeps getting higher and higher. What are some lessons learned from handling COVID-19 that we really, really need to apply moving forward if these are things that we have to live with? What are some mistakes that we shouldn't repeat as well?
Right. I think clearly, messaging is important, and that's why I think WHO also talked about it. I'm glad to see MOH coming forward very quickly to deal with this. I do hope they will now make a stronger message with regards to stigmatizing, to prevent stigmatization of that with certain sexual activity. I think that's crucial. But I'm very confident that MOH and the country as a whole will be better equipped to handle monkeypox because COVID-19 is still very much with us. So I think the whole health public health infrastructure is still very, very active, very alive, you know. So And the guidelines, even though transmission is a bit is different, but the things we have to do, you know, case detection, early diagnosis, isolation, it's all very in place. It's in everybody's recent memory box. You know, so I am very confident we can handle that well. The most important is we don't want people to take it for granted. I do not want to say 3% people die. In many countries, it's lower than that. That's a fact. But the average is 3%. People might get put off or may take it in a way, nonchalant way, because it's 3%, less than 3%, what the hell, you know? So that may be sometimes a bad thing, all right? I don't want to freak people out. I mean, fear can only drive us so much, but fear does move us in a certain direction. But with proper education and knowledge and data, our fear can be streamlined, and then we can be able to move along and do our daily activities. Look at COVID-19. That's exactly what we did. Initially was fear, all right? I don't know how many masks you wear when you went out the first day after COVID-19, but probably not very sustainable. But over time, we adjusted. We had more information. We had more data. We adjusted things, and we could manage quite a lot of things in our daily activities as well. So it's not all doom and gloom. I think we just need to be aware and to be educated.
Mm. So a final word, Dr. Chris, especially something for people to keep in mind as they are probably reading social media, receiving forwarded WhatsApp messages, right? What do you want them to have in the back of their minds when it comes to putting monkeypox and its risks into perspective?
If you know somebody has monkeypox, please, like COVID-19, do not have close contact with them. They should be isolated. You know that, all right? Now, on our own perspective, there are certain activities that you're doing. For example, well, try to ensure you are with people who are well. If you are uncertain, then you have to make sure you follow what we call universal precautions standards, like that. Make sure you have good hygiene, all right? After contact, wash your hands and make sure you clean the surroundings around you and things like that to reduce the risk to other people, all right? And other people to do the same for you, that kind of thing. Just like in COVID-19, all right? The other thing is be aware of your own symptoms. If you detect that you start having a fever and you have an unexpected rash that looks like a blister, go and seek out help from your doctor, all right? And let the doctor do their work. The doctor will know what needs to be done, all right? But in the time being, it will take a bit of time to get your PCR results back. Remember, just like COVID-19, the first few months, you don't get it in 10 minutes, isn't it? So during the process, you isolate yourself, all right, until you get confirmation. Of course, if you're symptomatic, the doctor will take care of you and get you admitted, et cetera, et cetera. So you just need to be aware of it. So with COVID-19, many of us have notched up our own personal hygiene and environmental hygiene. I think if we keep to that same protocol for monkeypox, it would serve us quite well as well.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dato Dr. Christopher Lee, infectious diseases physician. We've been discussing monkeypox and what we need to keep in mind, not to be alarmist, but to be aware. This has been Health and Living on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.